Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
I was thinking about Easter and thinking of it from the perspective of the disciples. That wonderful last meal that then began to change in its mood and the things Christ was saying, and then the arrest and the crucifixion and his death and their fear. Most of them ran away. And it brings up the topic that I want to talk about today, what to do when your world is turned upside down. There surely was. This is something, though he had told them what they could anticipate in the future, they still were devastated with what's happening. And that can happen in our own lives as well, in situations that we face. It can be small things, it can be big things. Things all of a sudden head the other direction. And what do you do when your world is turned upside down? I've told this story before, but I found a better picture. We were heading out to do a clinic visit at Niigata, which is a clinic out in Maasai, out in the plains in Kenya. And I had a nurse with me, a lab tech, and that you can see there trying to push the car, and came around that corner and got into some loose gravel and slid over into that ditch. And we couldn't go anywhere. My four-wheel drive Subaru let me down because three of the wheels were off the ground. What were the problems? It was sudden and unexpected. That's true in our lives as well, isn't it? Things are going well, things are going good, we're doing our normal things, a job or whatever, and something happens which turns our world upside down. People could have been hurt in that accident, and that can often happen in a cause of our world being turned some up down. Last week, we had a difficult week with Jody. I thank you for praying for her. She seemed to be doing all right. We went over to her brother and sister's house. We had dinner, played sequence. She was walking out of the house, stepped off the two steps in the garage to go out to the car, and had terrible pain, just almost moaning and screaming with pain. And, I had to help her into the car, got home. She couldn't hardly get out of the car. I had to go get her dad's walker that he used to use to get her into the house. She was up all night. I stayed up all night, afraid she couldn't get out of bed to even get to the bathroom. It was tough. It was totally unexpected. Thought she was doing well, and we've been dealing with that. She's doing better now by God's grace, but she saw five doctors last week and four this week, and just a lot of stuff going on, which I won't go into. It was dangerous for us to go get help. You don't go walking from your car in Maasai. There are lions, there's leopards, there's buffalo, there's elephants. And dangerous to go for help. And sometimes in our own situations, we feel impeded to get the help that we really need when something bad happens. We maybe don't want to talk about it. Something we don't even want to share with other people. Unwilling to go for the help that we need, maybe embarrassed by the situation. Those things happen in our lives, and we feel like it's dangerous to go for help. Stranded in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel when something happens in your life. How in the world do I deal with this? And we'll talk about some of those things as we move forward. But you're caught in the middle of nowhere like we were in that car. And we had no way to summon help but to pray. And that's true for many of our situations. I'm a fix-it person, especially with medical things. That's just bred into you. When someone is sick or somebody has a surgical problem, you go and fix it or find somebody who can fix it. And I think one of the toughest things that when I'm dealing with a situation is when I can't fix it or I can't find somebody to fix it. That was the situation last week. It's very frustrating to me that this was going on. And didn't know if we could move on to our destination. We couldn't. That car, finally, you remember the story I told you some time ago, we waited 2 hours and finally minibus came by, bigger than the van and small than a regular sized bus, and it had a bunch of tourists in it, and we waved them down. You wave people in Kenya down by doing this. And they stopped, and there were about 10 men on there, and they all got out. We pushed that car, and that fast we were going down the road to the clinic. Patients were still waiting for us when we got there. But oftentimes we don't know if we can really move on to the destination, especially when it's something very serious. And other people are affected by what happened in these type of situations. It doesn't just affect us, it may affect our family and other people. This is the car when Jody got hit by two young men in a big pickup truck that ran a red light and hit her in Knoxville. And I remember I got the call while I was speaking out in Los Angeles just before I got up to speak at a mission conference. And they said, Jody's been in a car crash. They've taken her to the hospital in Knoxville, and we don't know what her condition is. And it was tough getting up to speak, not knowing that I couldn't do anything, but at the same time didn't know how seriously injured she was. And she had gotten her pelvis fractured and concussion and all sorts of things. Or a death happens. Could be an accident, could be a death. If you haven't been to many funerals, they're going to increase the older you get, let me tell you that. And it could be a friend, it could be a parent. This is at Jody's dad's funeral, and all the family gathered there. And we saw that one coming. It was anticipated. I think the hardest ones was when there's just something acutely happens and somebody is killed. Or financial issues. You all been looking at your IRAs and your 401ks, and yeah, all the plunge in the stock market a few weeks ago, a lot of people were worried. I remember back in about 15 years ago, we had a similar situation when the stock market dropped. And it really impacted CMDA, not because of our investments, but because our members stopped giving. And we got in crisis mode, and we finally had to let about 10% of the staff go and lower everybody else's staff by our salaries by 10% until we got out of the bad situation. I remember I sent out a special letter to our members, and I titled it Code Blue. Code Blue in the hospital is when you've got an emergency, everybody's going to run and take care of it. And by God's grace, our members and friends helped us get out of that thing. But it was a difficult time, and it can happen in your situation. Unexpected illness that's very expensive, and your insurance isn't covering it, or other things, fires, anything that can impact your finances. And I think one of the hardest things about our time on the mission field is just seeing so many people that their worlds have been turned upside down. This little child, I can tell you what's wrong, probably Mike could as well. There's a red tube going into her head, and that's a blood transfusion. She has malaria, healthy, beautiful little baby, and near death. Or this child, because there wasn't enough rain, there was famine. This is marasmus. There are just not enough calories, and this child came to the hospital in just terrible shape. Or this young boy with meningitis. See how his neck's back? And came in playing and having fun with his friends one day, and a few days later is in the hospital about to die. And I thought you would enjoy this one, especially if you had any, you know, next time you're eating spaghetti. That's a roundworm coming out of the intestines. That child had a complete bowel obstruction from a big ball of roundworms, and surgery had to be done. And then the challenge is just so many patients. I remember one day we had 400 patients in the hospital in the midst of a malaria epidemic, and each one of them had a family member. And this is a ward at night, and you can see there's a lot more people than there are beds. People sleeping on the floor, they're sleeping under the eaves. The world was turned upside down. We had two or three docs and over 400 patients in the hospital. And a lot of them in desperate needs. In fact, when that was going on, Jody took a picture as I was coming down late at night from the hospital. And I didn't look too good. We had just run ourselves. So let's get into how we deal with this. Because this will happen to you. an unexpected adversity. It may be sickness or death or financial, like we've talked about, some reversal, financial reversal or job loss or failure or unexpected and unseen divorce. I can still remember when one of my close friends told me he was divorcing his wife during residency. She and Jody were pregnant 2 weeks apart, and he had fallen in love with the nurse in OB and left her. And just terrible crisis. Our child goes astray, and as you children get older, you might have that experience. Results in hurt, grief, status loss, sadness, loss of security, loss of self-confidence, all sorts of things can happen when this goes on in our lives. It can be devastating. Everything is just going fine, and then all of a sudden, it isn't. And how do we deal with that? Feeling stranded, loss of independence, support. I've been spending a lot more time at home taking care of Jody, and I don't have as much independence as I used to have. Or you might not have support or fellowship or friends are so busy they're not able to help as much, or it's just gone on so long that they are worn out or feeling stranded, not where you're going, what the direction is, what's the end of this, without help. And without help can be rejection in some situations. Other people don't sympathize with what's going on. Platitudes, isolation, an uncertain future, change is coming, and then other people can be affected. A divorce situation, as you know, can affect children and everybody in the family and extended family. So all these things, the world can be turned upside down. Those we serve, the spouses, children, friends, church. What's God say? Let's get to not the problem, but how God has taught us how to deal with this. He's told us that they're going to happen. We shouldn't be surprised. Timothy 3:1, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. And we see that all throughout the New Testament. So it shouldn't be any different for us than it is for the disciples. Christ dealt with difficult times and difficult people. Jeremiah 45:3, you say, these are bad times for me. It's one thing after another. God is piling on the pain. I'm worn out and there's no end in sight. And I know some of you in your room are dealing with difficult situations, illnesses and family and things that you may not even shared with others. And Luke 22:36, he said, get ready for trouble. Look to what you'll need. There are difficult times ahead. I've thought about this my birthday's coming in September. I'll turn 74. The future doesn't look that good until I die. Then after that, it's looking great. But something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Or something happened to family, and it's already happening with Jody, and it's changed our lives, and will probably continue to change our lives. Illnesses, disability, loss of mental faculties. Jody's not so concerned about the illness. She's putting up with that. I think the thing that's bothering her the most is both her older sisters have dementia, and she's next in line. And she's doing well by God's grace, but it comes out every once in a while. And one of her sisters just moved to town from Alabama 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they're now here, so we're seeing and helping to deal with that with her older sister. Get ready. Don't put your eggs all in one basket. When you're dealing, be prudent in the sense of, yes, bad things can happen. How can you be prudent to minimize that with savings, investments, insurance, and health maintenance, and weight loss, and all those things we're supposed to do? Get ready, but mostly get ready mentally and realize these things are going to happen. And remember that God doesn't waste our difficulties or our pain. He uses them in our life, and he uses them in the lives of others. We think about the difficulties, but God doesn't waste them. He teaches us. He teaches others. God says he can use difficult times to grow us. 1 Peter 4:1-2, since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. Get your focus off yourself and onto Him. That's the key. Dig into His Word. I just finished reading Barclay's Commentaries. That's a set of books about this wide. And about a year and a half ago, I decided it was a great way to dig into the New Testament, going through those commentaries. And it probably 3,000 to 4,000 pages. If you go in my study, they're all there, and they're underlined and marked and notes in the margins, just looking for new insights in the Scripture. You may need to refresh your time in the Word. Maybe it's just gotten to be something I've got to do. How can you dig deeper? How can you dig wider? How can you find out more about Christ and see the things you've read 100 times in new ways? Memorize Scripture. It's a great way to deal with difficult times. Get into a Bible study. So if you know, Gene and Gay and Jody and I are with some other couples in a Wednesday night Bible study. We get together. We were together last night, just encouraging each other, digging in God's Word, fellowship, learning the Bible more deeply as we sharpen each other, and then minister to others. Getting outside of yourself is so important to help prevent isolations when you get into difficult times. It may be your Sunday school class or choir, or a ministry trip, or a GHO trip, or whatever. God's principles for difficult times. First of all, flee to Him. Psalm 9:9. God's safe house for the battered. God's a safe house for the battered, a sanctuary during bad times. I love that word, a sanctuary. A place that's protected, a place where He is, a place where He can sustain you. Psalm 71:1-3. I run for dear life to God. I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. There's David talking. Do what you do so well, God. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. He's just talking to God straight on. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. In Psalm 71:3, be a guest room where I can retreat. You said your door was always open. You're my salvation, my vast granite fortress. I think of those verses, and I remember when our children were young and they would hurt themselves, and the kids would come running to one of us to get in our lap. That's what God's saying. When things go bad, get in my lap. I'm your fortress. I'm your sanctuary. I'm the place you need to focus on. God's principles for difficult times. Call out to Him. Psalm 91:15. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you. And then throw you a party. Isn't that great? I'll rescue you and then throw you a party. Psalm 55:16, I call to God. God will help me. David speaking again. Isaiah 58:9, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, here am I, here am I. And Lamentations 3:55-57, but I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the pit. You heard me when I cried. Yes, you came when I called. You told me, do not fear. God is there. And the best way to have that assurance when difficult times come is to have that relationship when difficult times come. Some quotes I love on this. When life knocks you off your feet, you are in a position to pray. A Christian must get on his knees before he gets on his feet. Prayer provides power, poise, peace, and purpose, and perspective. One of the things when I was growing up, we had a wonderful large church in our small little town, and we had prayer meeting every Wednesday night. If my dad was in town and not out preaching somewhere, he'd go to prayer meeting, and he'd often take me. And it was just, there was no message or whatever. It was just sharing needs and men on their knees. It was a man's prayer meeting. Women had theirs at a different time. And I remember some of those saints just calling down heaven on situations. We were on the mission field. We met each week for prayer. And dealing for patients we were dealing with, shortages of staff, illnesses that people were having, but just prayer and having a prayer list and bringing these things before God is one of the keys to deal with difficult times. Other principles, claim His promises. He's given them to us. Psalm 119, 50. These words hold me up in bad times, David says. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me. Hebrews 10:23, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps His word. In Psalm 46:1 through 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. In John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, claiming His promises is such a key thing. Memorizing His word is a great way to do that. We had devotions when I had our teams in Mogadishu. Before we went out, we had a short devotional, and often it focused on these when we were in this war zone with so much illness and problems and risk. And we would get a verse for the day, a promise from God's word, and we would bring it up, and then we'd learn it together and remember it during that day, which helped us in a very difficult time. Other godly principles for difficult times, trust Him. Sometimes it's hard to trust in these situations, but remember, we know the end of the story. We know the end of our story. The worst thing that can happen to you is you could die, and that's the best thing that can happen to you. Isn't that good news? John 16:33, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. 1 Peter 4:1, so if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride, trust Him. He knows what He's doing, and He'll keep on doing it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. Thomas Brooks, if we love Christ much, we shall surely trust Him much. And when I think of that, I remember when we go on vacation when we were in Kenya once a year, and it was a job to get down to the coast, two-day trip back. And we would be at a resort, and there was a pool, and that's the only time the kids got to go swimming. And so we had them, their floats, you know, and they were young, and they'd floating around the pool. And then decided we got to teach them to swim. And I said, take off your floats. And they took off their floats. Now, I'm going to hold you up, and I'll put my hand under you, and then you'll float. Just lay on your back. You'll float. Daddy, I'm afraid. No, no, you'll float. You'll float. Daddy, I'm a daddy. And, you know, and then the next step to learn how to swim, it was all that difficulty in learning, and within a week of really getting into it, they are just running through the pool and jumping in, learning how to swim, and that whole thing is a matter of trust when they learned it, more so when God is putting us in deep waters and learning how to trust Him when we don't know what the outcome's going to be. The result of all this is spiritual refining of our character. Mark 9:49, everyone's going through a refining fire sooner or later. It's going to happen. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. What lies behind us and what lies before us are teeny matters compared to what lies within us. Trusting God in the midst of these different situations. Adversity is never pleasant, but sometimes it's possible to learn lessons from it that can be learned in no other way. I bought me a nice Ego chainsaw. And man, that thing can cut, and you know, I don't have to pull, you know, start a motor, just put the battery in, zip, zip, and I'm out cutting grapevines on CMDA's property. And then I went out one time, and it took a long time to get through that grapevine. My chain had gotten dull, despite all the pressure. So I took it to Gene. He went downstairs, put it on his machine. That thing could cut like it was cutting butter. I've refined my chainsaw chain. And God uses difficult situations to refine us, to sharpen us, to make us more effective, to make us more patient, more caring about other people, and to teach us many lessons. And the results, difficulties validate our testimony, how we handle them. 2 Corinthians 6:4, our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us as we stay at our post, alertly, unswervingly, in hard times, rough times, bad times. Romans 5:3-4, not only so, but we can also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. I was going to use an illustration of watering herbs, and if you crush one, a great odor comes out of them, but I got a better one that Lori brought to me. She brought treats for Simba. We're leaving to go to Charleston. She put them in a plastic bag, and I walked over 6 feet away from that bag, and I could smell them. Simba's going to go nuts when I put those in the car, right? But the sweet scent, you could smell it from a distance. And God uses our difficulties to make us a sweet scent for other people as a testimony to them. So no matter how or how great our difficulty, no matter how deep the pain, no matter how alone we feel, no matter how little hope we have, no matter how uncertain the future, God is enough. God is enough. I thought that was an appropriate thing to talk about because God was enough over 2,000 years ago that we're celebrating this week. He is enough. He was enough. He will be enough for every situation because he lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Can't imagine what it was like for the disciples when he was led with the cross through the city and they knew he was going to die. But Lord, you use that to sharpen them, to refine them, to make them what you wanted to be, and what you wanted them to do. And Lord, you do the same things with us. Help us to let our testimony shine the best during our difficult times, that we may show you to others. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.